This conference is being recorded.
Hello, and welcome to the Heart Start to Your Week call on Memorial Day 2008. On this Memorial Day, we are forgetting our usual routine and opening up the call for those who are willing to show up so graciously on a holiday weekend to your questions, and anything is fair game. And ultimately, the beautiful thing about Heart Math, and of course, for those who are new to our Heart Start calls, these calls are sponsored by Sierra. Sierra is a word to define a feeling, and it's also the name of a company. The feeling is a great feeling that you have when you are in alignment with your heart. A research institute in Northern California called Heart Math discovered that when we feel good, and that doesn't have to mean that life is going good, and I'm living proof of it today. But when we feel good, when we meet life's challenges with humor or care or compassion towards ourselves and others, or full appreciation and understanding or even joy and enthusiasm, those feelings that we associate with being, as HeartMath would describe it, in the heart, actually impact heart rhythms. They change the way the heart works, and it causes this ordered pattern, a uniquely ordered pattern in the heart's rhythm, which changes many different things in the body, including and especially how the brain works. And so there is a brain and intelligence that has been discovered in the heart, like a GPS. And that intelligence lights up, is more accessible, is less static to it, when we're in a positive feeling state. And so Sierra is that state where you feel inwardly guided and you know inside you, without knowing how you know. You feel in harmony and at peace with your life and the path that you're on. And even if you don't feel good, you at least have compassion towards that. So that's Sierra, the word and the feeling, and Sierra, the company, is licensed by HeartMath to teach their tools and use their biofeedback-like technologies to help people feel more Sierra, tap into greater guidance from their heart, and live more fulfilled lives that also benefit others and the world more. That's pretty much what we're about here. Normally on these Heart Start calls, we apply them to specific topics or to you know, how the heart can apply in various different circumstances to improve your quality of life, with an introduction to some of the heart math science and a Q&A that helps people understand what they would get from taking one of our webinars or our seminars. But tonight, being a holiday weekend, we decided to take a little holiday from our usual routine and just open up the call for questions. Any question being fair game, any question can go. However, just to warn all of you that are on the call live, I may well reflect the questions back to the part of you that has the answers, which is your own heart. And that is the beauty of the HeartMath system, is that ultimately you become your own best friend, your own therapist, your own teacher, your own lover, your own guide. And in my own experience, it's really your own heart anyway that will recognize that in others. So it's your own heart teaching you, talking to you, making love with life with you all the time, just through the reflections of the people around you. And so the HeartMath system is a way to directly consult with that intelligence within you, which leads to a quality of emotional maturity that some might even call mastery. And so before we started the recording, someone said, what's the meaning of life? No, what was it you asked, Nicole?
Yeah,
that was it. And then Jake asked, what was the purpose?
So we have Nicole, Amy, and Jake on the phone. Is that right?
I'm on, yes, Jake.
And so we're gonna play a little bit here tonight. And so what was the meaning of life? And what did I tell you in that moment? I said the meaning of life is to try to mature as much as possible emotionally and as little as possible physically.
Yes.
In a lighthearted way. That's kind of what the HeartMath system is all about. Let's quickly try to grow up our emotional bodies before our physical bodies totally grow old and decay in the process of being immature emotionally. Oh. No. You like that one?
Sure.
Well, there's certainly, you know, it's said tongue-in-cheek, but there's certainly a significant amount of HeartMath research and other research out that shows that stress, which is, you know, what I'm jokingly calling emotional immaturity or caveman emotions, really all stress is survival emotions and survival physiology kicking in the face of psychologically challenging situations. So there's a misperception that occurs of, you know, a threat at a psychological level, like a deadline or a betrayal in a relationship or a school challenge, Nicole, studying for your boards or whatever it is, your bar exam, that the body, through the emotional trauma or reaction to that, perceives as life-threatening and then kicks in this series of 1,400 cascading responses in the body that actually causes accelerated aging. Because it takes a lot of resources to respond to a direct physical threat physically. And psychological threats require different resources, usually our higher brain centers, which shut down under stress. So to be able to transform stress is quite literally to slow, or in some cases, such as in my own, even reverse an early aging process. And so as we emotionally mature, we physically get younger. It's an inverse ratio, one that we can capitalize on with the power of the heart. So, Nicole, for you, what's the meaning of life today? That was my meaning of life today. What's yours?
Inner happiness.
And so, can I ask you a question about that?
Well, I'm just thinking, well, for me, it's about being happy on the inside, obviously knowing that the happiness exudes outside, not just, I'm not trying to be a narcissist, you know.
Yeah, well, certainly right, you know, from your year of study in our Heart Mastery Program, which is the year-long course Sierra offers in mastering the heart math techniques. Or maybe I should say introducing the possibility of mastery, but given that neither you nor I really have mastery there yet, right, Nicole?
Yeah, that's a little bit more accurate for me. I'll speak for myself.
Well, I'll step in there with you. But that's the good news, you know, me as a heart math teacher. Like, I never have the, and maybe this is a detriment. Maybe I'd have more people in my classes if I did have the pretense that I was a master. I'm really not. I'm just like an average person, just like everyone else, with my own stressors, my own disappointments, my own challenges. The difference is that I have tools, and I really apply them, and they work. So while I still get upset about things in life, I don't necessarily lose two nights of sleep over it, maybe just one. No, I'm being silly. But, you know, I don't age myself over it nearly as much as I used to, and I'm able to make much more efficient decisions that allow me to constructively handle difficult challenges in life rather than be undone by them. So, Nicole, that inner happiness that you're going for is certainly one of the highest values of Sierra as a company, because we know that when people are inwardly happy, their cup overflows. They spontaneously, even without having to take action, because the heart beat and the heart rhythm, electrically speaking, extends at least 8 feet beyond the body. When people are in a state of Sierra or inner happiness, as you're describing it, Nicole, that electrically changes their environment. It changes, and we know that, right? You've been in a room where someone has a contagious, peaceful, or joyful mood that they share with you. They don't even necessarily. What was that?
Like you.
Thank you, even though I'm not a master yet.
Well, you definitely aren't giving yourself enough credit from my point of view.
But that's it, right? We can become contagiously joyful. And that is a service. So our own joy does serve. It's not narcissistic when it's true joy, when it's joy from the heart. So I love that meaning of life for you, although it certainly takes the mean away and makes things more kind, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful meaning. And so, Nicole, just for fun, what aspects, like, did you feel that your year in the Heart Mastery Program, being this is your graduation day, did it help you find more inner happiness?
Definitely on my way to getting more consistent at inner happiness. I think, there are, life is a roller coaster, and it's just for me recognizing that there's a, you know, somewhat of a misnomer out there that happiness is just constant, free of conflict, free of, you know, any downtimes, but that's not true. I think for me, part of the whole year-long process was realizing that happiness is just about being true to myself and recognizing when I am feeling, and being true to myself when I'm feeling hurt, that's a genuine feeling, and not to really look for a counter argument in that and just accept that I'm hurt, but look at the big picture of taking significance, taking the drama out of whatever conflict I'm in at the time, and realizing my inner peace and happiness is getting out of those things a little faster than I'm used to. And that's going to be my success, is getting out of them a little faster. Not that they're never going to happen, but that they'll always happen. And, you know, it's getting out of them faster. And, you know, who knows? Maybe there will be a day when, like I know you've talked about this, where Patch Adams says he made a commitment to never having a bad day in his life. And one day, hopefully, maybe I can make that same commitment. I'm not there yet, but maybe one day.
I really love what you've shared, Nicole. It's beautiful to hear just the poise and the clarity in what you're saying. And what it points to that I want to share on this Heart Start is that Heart Math is not about creating some kind of idealistic world or idealistic life. It's not saying that you're never going to have stressful situations or even negative or difficult emotions. But it's exactly like you said, it's, you know, how quickly can you shift back into a productive place or a clear place when you get bumped by life. And I just thought that was beautifully stated. We're not making any kind of unreasonable promise. All we're saying is that you can have tools so that when you slide down the mountain, you've got some picks on your shoes and some climbing gear and oxygen to make it easier to get back up.
Exactly.
Or I think, as Nicole, as you said, that like, and in fact, that you get less injured on the way down because you know how to conserve your energy as you go. You know, this story comes to mind of Bonnie St. John, who you know about, Nicole, and Jake and Amy, who I'll introduce you to. Bonnie is a HeartMath client, actually, of mine, she was the first African-American woman to win a medal in the Winter Olympics. Now, and her accomplishment there is more pronounced when you consider that she won the Winter Olympics coming from San Diego. It wasn't like she grew up with snow. So she won in downhill skiing, slalom skiing, in the Winter Olympics, and in addition, she did it on one leg because she's an amputee. So Bonnie is a person that overcame many obstacles and many stressors in life to be who and where she is. And her story is all the more amazing because at the time that she won her medal, they did the slalom races in doubles. So it was a combined score of two downhill slaloms. And her first run, she won. She came out on top, far ahead of all the other skiers, and it looked like she was going to win the gold. And her, so she was pacing herself on her second run to just take it really easy, not push it, just make it through the run. And she hit a patch of ice about 5 feet, I think she said, from the finish line. And just as she saw the finish line in sight, she fell. Flat on her butt in front of the world, as she puts it. And she said she was just so humiliated, she wanted to, like, crawl into a ski bank and hide, right? But her heart, and this gets back to that GPS, that guidance system within your own heart, told her to stand up and finish the race. And so she paused for a moment and, you know, that's what happens. We hit these forks in the road, right, where in a heart math terms you talk about you can make a head choice or a heart choice. Now, it's not really head or heart because we know that when a heart choice is made, what it does is it unites all the aspects of your being, including your brain. It brings all of you in alignment with a singular focus. That the heart is like a hub that all the spokes of the wheel of your being emanate from. So a heart choice honors all of the aspects of you. And a head choice is usually just a disenfranchised piece of you trying to take care of the whole of you, but not really having a connection to it, doesn't know how. And that ends up creating more stress. So she was at that fork in the road, and I'm sure many of our listeners have been confronted forks of head versus heart choices. And one of the tools we teach in our beginner workshop is designed to help you hear the difference and discern head from heart. And I would say, and Nicole, dive in how you feel about this, that the Whole Heart Mastery Program in a way is a context over the course of the year to help you cultivate a discernment between your head and your heart. Would you say that, Nicole, so that you can better follow your heart? And what was that?
Definitely.
So there she was. She was confronted with a head versus a heart choice, and she stood up and she finished the race. Well, little did she know, she was unaware that every other skier that went down that hill fell at the exact same spot. And I think she ended up, I can't remember, I'd have to look it up. I think she ended up with a silver medal. And the only thing that separated her from the person that won the gold was the person that won the gold stood up faster. So when you're talking, Nicole, about the benefit you got in terms of moving towards greater inner happiness in the Heart Mastery Program, that it's not like it took away the problems in your life. That's definitely true, right? It didn't take away your bar exam. It didn't take away the obstacles you're facing. But it didn't even take away some of the failures that you've encountered this year. But what it did was it empowered you to be able to stand up faster and keep going.
Yes.
Cool. All right, Jake, I think you're up.
Oh, okay. So I suppose the last bit of conversation that we've just had was addressing the question of what the meaning of life is. Am I correct on that still?
I suppose, although, you know, what would be fun is if we say what's off the cuff and then we could take a moment and ask our hearts what they say. That's always interesting.
Okay, well, for me, the meaning of life is a much, much harder question because I can't figure out, like, what the meaning would be, really. For me, the purpose of life has become a fairly relatively easy question to answer. And, of course, my answer is very similar to some of the things that you mentioned there. And I think the only purpose to life is to be happy, just simply as that. No other. And the problem with being happy, of course, is we think that there are things that will make us happy, or possessing things, or being something, or doing something, or whatever that make us happy, and that never seems to be it. We've got to learn somehow to be happy for no reason, and as I am kind of beginning to understand the heart myth applications and theories, is that they kind of are exactly showing you how to do that by becoming coherent. Being able to choose coherency all the time, where you're in balance with, you know, I guess your emotional and you know, your mental and emotional and kind of spiritual and maybe even physical self. I mean, that's what I've kind of thought so far in my life, that I just want to learn how to be happy and be happy for just no reason.
Isn't it amazing, Nicole, when someone who hasn't studied heart math speaks it better than we do? I love it.
Well,
that's it. That's so well said. I think that's what it's about right there. That's beautiful. That's it. That's definitely what the heart math system offers, is the possibility of being happy for no external reason, unconditionally happy,
yeah.
Or I would even say being the source of happiness.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's exactly what you start becoming, because when you're happy, people kind of gravitate to you and they wonder why, and who knows, maybe you can give them a hint now and then. It's just, you know, you just choose that, because happiness is a choice. It's not something that, you know, you have to go buy, or it's not something you have to go do something to get. It's like, I'm going to be happy, and I don't care what's happening around me.
And it's certainly complex. It gets complex, which is why there's the Heart Mastery Program, why there's so many tools. And
yeah.
Because, you know, it's also not about denying yourself those things. And
oh.
So it's about, which I'm not saying you are saying, by the way, Jake, just to say, like, it can get very tricky, almost like trying to balance on a log in the ocean sometimes, because it's about making right relationships to everything that's in the world, not depending on it, but also not cutting yourself off from it to prove you can be happy without it.
Well, it's, I don't know, I've been studying a lot of things in my life. I'm probably a little older than you guys are. I don't know how much older, but it just seems like, you know, you kind of learn sometimes from experiences if you're just paying attention to, you know, what's going on around you. And I've thought that this would bring me happy and that would, a new car, a girlfriend, or whatever it was, you know. And, you know, you get those things, and, like, I think what you experience is just sort of like this temporary euphoric feeling of maybe joy or something, which I think is a little different than happiness.
Mm.
And it fades if that's what you base your happiness on, because, you know, cars get old and girlfriends leave you, and, or whatever, you know, it is, or a new house is, you know, it's the same thing. You just kind of get used to them, and they're humdrum to you. Something that's just inside, and I heard you mention just a little while ago something that had to do with the intelligence that is within you. And, you know, you could probably talk about that for a long time, just what you mean by that, and you know, how to, I guess, bring it out or access it.
I think that's a great thing to focus on, because certainly, you know, they've discovered clinically that there's brain or intelligence in the heart, meaning it has its own proteins, its own neurotransmitters, its own support cells, its own nervous system that makes it function like a fully functioning brain, and that brain talks to the brain in the head. And yet, as I also hear you speaking, you know, intrinsically in my own heart, I feel there's an intelligence to all of our body's functions, to our cellular systems. We are intrinsically intelligent beings. And
like,
being able to say that again?
I'm sorry, I interrupt you. I tend to think that each cell has some level or portion of this intelligence that even it operates by somehow. Each single cell of our bodies. And collectively, they kind of make up a bigger part of maybe this intelligence that we have. I don't know. When I started reading and hearing about this intelligent brain type of thing that's in our heart, it was just like, wow, if that's true, and we've proven that scientifically, that's like just a gigantic scientific breakthrough.
Yes, it is. It's one that we really want to share with more people, because learning to tap that intelligence, the unique thing about heart intelligence is the heart's connection to all the rest of the body. So when the heart is online, when it's ordered and its signal is clear, it communicates to every cell in the body because of the influence of its electrical field. And there are actually four ways that the heart communicates with the brain and the rest of the body. Pressure waves. The heart turns out to be also an endocrine organ, so it communicates hormonally, electrically, through the nervous system, and so on. And so there's, in my own direct experience, and Nicole, it'd be fun to hear you share yours as well, but the more my heart comes online, the more all my body's intelligence seems to come online. So a lot of the health problems that I had when I first found HeartMath really went away in applying the tools with sincerity, because the heart It's sort of like the conductor of a grand orchestra that brings the best music out of every instrument. It brings out the innate intelligence in every unique piece of us. Anything you want to add to that, Nicole, from your experience?
No. I think in terms of what we've done in practice, because I've never had any major physical ailments, but what ends up happening is that the stress just causes, I'm not overweight, I don't have high cholesterol, I think a lot because of my age, but when I'm stressed, of course, I feel it in my body, and I'll either get choked up or I'm tense. So recognizing that there's a physical reaction to how I'm feeling allows me to be able to identify, okay, I'm in a stressful mode right now and there's something I can do. So it's kind of just giving me an awareness that if my head isn't aware that I'm feeling conflict inside or that I'm stressed out, if I can physically feel it, then, my heart's going to be saying to myself, okay, you need to calm down or you're not feeling right. Because I think there is a fear. When I'm fearful, there's definitely a physical response to that, and my body will tense up, So my experience of the physical and feeling distinction is different than I think what you might be talking about.
No, I think it's all definitely related.
Related, yeah.
And, we could look at the tension in the body, for example, and the stress response as part of our intelligence. It really is part of our intelligence that comes online, because it's the tension coiling back to attack an attacker or to flee from an attacker. It's our survival intelligence. And where our intelligence becomes stupidity or idiocy is when we coil back to attack a computer that's crashed or something and it just doesn't work. Or to when we coil back inside of a miscommunication or where we feel misunderstood or something unfair has happened. It's in those situations that we need a different type of intelligence, and it turns out that the heart is a great access code or portal for tapping into that higher psychological intelligence because of how it interfaces with the rest of the body and the brain. So there's no question the bulk of the HeartMath tools are all designed to help us become more intelligent beings, more intelligent human beings, which means, I think, and it can mean a lot of things, but if I was going to summarize my own experience of it, it simply means relating to things more efficiently, using less energy to accomplish more, and always caring for the whole and all concerned. I don't know, anything you want to add to that, Jake? This is a great place to focus in on.
Probably just another question that's popping into my mind. If we are deciding that we have sort of answered the question as to, the purpose, is to be happy. I mean, kind of a dumb question after that for me that I have always wondered about is, okay, well, if that's the purpose, why is it the purpose?
Then you could get into, me when I was 2 or 3 years old, and anything my mother would say, I'd say, why?
Yeah, I know. I mean, why? And of course, you mentioned just a moment ago that if we do all these things and we get ourselves more in harmony and our head and brain working together, that we become more intelligent. And, okay, that's a good goal, I think. But then again, the purpose of becoming more intelligent is what again? Is that so that you can be happier than just happy? I guess there's varying degrees of happiness. I would think that's pretty logical to assume. And so I guess it's always just based on increasing your ability and your enjoyment of being happy at infinite levels, I suppose.
Well, and again, this is open floor for everyone, because I'm definitely not posing as the enlightened guru that knows all. It's about consulting with your own heart, and I think it'd be fun to do that in a moment. All of us together, we could do a simple little heart math process to do that. But my spontaneous response to that is that it's not just about being happy. It's also about conserving and managing energy, if you will, because it takes energy to see clearly what is. And so happiness is a little oversimplified because, again, as Nicole pointed out, heart math is not idealistic. It's not about training to become a Stepford wife or to walk around with a, you know, plastered smile on your face all day long. It's about genuine relationship to what is so. So heart math is not a technology for just blissing out and ignoring world problems. To the contrary, heart math itself as an institute is directly tackling and confronting some of the largest problems we face as a species and as a globe right now. So it's about being able to be unconditional in your joy within yourself and then meet with clarity what actually is going on without averting your eyes sideways to that, but at the same time without projecting whatever you think that means. So the ability to have fresh, direct perception without being hijacked by emotional memory or the significance that you layer onto things gives you true power to respond to them effectively and to become a co-creator with life. So from a bigger picture vantage point, it takes energy. It just takes raw energy. You know, you can imagine when you're just stressed out to the point of exhaustion, you don't really have energy to confront the problems of your own life, let alone the world. It takes energy to be able to have direct perception and then the ability to respond to direct perception. So there's something that occurs when you learn to manage your energy over time and choose happiness where you could react and burn away fuel unnecessarily that builds a storehouse of energy to afford you greater direct perception of life, greater resource within you to respond to that perception. And that then, in that inner quiet joy, as one of the founders of HeartMath calls it, quiet joy, internal experience that's not conditioned by something outside, allows the unfoldment of what in the Heart Mastery Program we talk about as your heart blueprint. So when you're talking about purpose, from a heart mastery point of view here at Fiera, we would talk about that in the context of unfolding your heart blueprint, meaning that the heart is the first organ to form in the fetus. The same way an acorn contains within it all the information to when they become an oak tree, but not all acorns grow to the full potential because they're not cultivated in the proper soil or with the right sunlight or the right environment they need to cultivate and grow. Not all hearts, most in fact, don't reach their full potential, their growth, their maximum fulfillment or contribution because of the stressors or the conditioning or, as you pointed out, Jake, what I like to affectionately call my in order to's. In order to be happy, I need this, this, and this. And so, you know, we get the car and the girlfriend or the boyfriend or the husband or the wife or the diamond ring or whatever it is. All of that takes a lot of energy. And again, it's not like those things are bad or wrong, but if you're invested in those more than you're invested in your own internal sense of well-being and your own energy, then that takes energy away from your heart blueprint blossoming the same way a plant would die for lack of nourishment or water, because you're putting attention on all these distractions. So we have a course even in the Heart Mastery Program, or you can take a la carte, called Heart Blueprints, which is about living your unique purpose, and it is unique to every person. It's their blueprint, the same way that every building has a unique blueprint. And so every person has a unique blueprint, and you can't like cheat and look it over your shoulder at somebody else's blueprint to see if you're living yours or how you should take the next step on yours. The only way to actualize it and tap into it is to have an inner reference point for those forks in the road. And usually those forks in the road, those head-heart choices, are less the bigger choices, like what city should I live in or who should I marry, and they're more the internal choices, like what would be a different way to see or perceive or respond to this situation that at the moment I'm perceiving as hurtful and personal. Each time we get a heart perspective on those questions or those situations, it opens up a bigger portion of our blueprint and makes us more available to whatever our creative gifts and skills and contributions can be, whatever our joys and our unique fulfillment can be. So that was a lot of words for someone who claimed not to be a guru and wasn't going to say anything. Did that respond to your question, Jake?
Sure.
Why don't we take a moment and do a little heart math exercise here?
May I ask you just one quick question on something you said that I didn't quite, I'm trying to take some notes here.
Yeah, please, of course.
You mentioned that the heart communicates four different ways, I think, did you not?
Yeah, the heart has four pathways of communication with the brain.
You said pressure waves, hormonal, electrically, and was there another, what was the other one?
Nervous system.
Nervous system. So that's the four different ways the heart communicates with the body or the brain.
Yeah, both.
Both?
So it's an endocrine organ and it secretes hormones, so it communicates with the whole body and the brain that way. It's electromagnetic organ, the biggest electrical oscillator in the body, so it has an electrical field that extends in general 8 feet beyond the body.
Yeah, I just heard that. So hormonally, it sends out some types of hormones from itself?
It does. It's generative of hormones, in particular oxytocin.
Well, I thought that was brain.
Right. Well, the brain and the pituitary gland also secrete hormones, but it turns out the heart is a source of oxytocin, which, for those who don't know, is the love and bonding hormone.
Huh?
It helps a woman through labor and delivery, but also that gets secreted when she's nursing a baby and creates bonding, feelings of bonding between mother and child.
And they've measured all of these scientifically, these four different things from the heart in various experiments, I suppose?
Yeah, they have. And, you know, you could certainly Google that research. You could find some of it on heartmath.org, the Institute's website.
Wow. That's amazing.
I know, isn't it extraordinary? And so, you know, the tools allow us to tap into all that power ourselves. I joke about that, you know, when I can't find my chocolate, the heart secretes endorphins that are similar to what chocolate generates. So if you're ever standing on a desert island without dark chocolate, there's hope.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to interrupt your next part there. I just want to get that.
No, not at all. This is what I said. I'm loving this way of doing the heart start. Let your questions roll. Any other questions before we do a little heart process here?
I'm ready.
Okay, so, Nicole, I'm assuming you're good because I'm guessing she's muted. So.
Yes. Tell us.
Okay, thanks. So, well, here's what I'd have everyone do is just take a moment, and this is a tool called the Perception Shift Tool. It's also a tool that works to get guidance from your heart. So you could shift your attention to the area around your heart. And let the breath come in through the area around the heart and go out through the area around the heart. And just activate some feeling of what we would call a Sierra feeling at Sierra, what heart math tools call a heart feeling, which is a sense of gratitude or appreciation, or when those things are too far away, a sense of compassion. And just breathing that feeling in through the heart and out through the heart. And then ask your heart from its point of view what life's purpose is. And just listen to the first thing that comes to your mind without editing and write it down. And then refocus your attention on the area around the heart for a moment. And just breathe as if the breath is coming in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. Again, activate a heart feeling. And ask your heart, what's life's meaning? And again, without editing, just listen to the first thing that comes to your mind and write it down. And then let's just do a little round robin and see what the heart has to say about it all. Jake, do you want to start us off?
Maybe I'm still writing, but yeah, I can.
Well, you can keep writing. I don't want to interrupt you. We can wait a moment, let you finish. Just let us know when you're done.
Oh, well, I'm done enough.
Okay.
Do you want to do purpose first or meaning first?
You get to pick.
All right, well, I'm going to go with purpose. And basically I came up with sort of what I had already said, but also, you know, to be happy, to love, and to help. In other words, to help others, to pull others up if you're above them in the way of happiness or love. And it's all about, I think, showing or creating within yourself life, love, and beauty. I think that's the purpose, to just make more of it, to be a manufacturing plant, if you will, of life, love, and beauty.
A Fiera factory.
There you go. A Fiera factory.
I love that. That's great. So that was, yeah, go for it.
That's sort of what I got on the purpose thing. And then on the meaning, I came up with I've always had trouble with this meaning thing, but I think really the meaning it is whatever you want to make it. And this life is basically just a school, and you should grab all the fun learning opportunities that you can. And I don't know what you do with them when you got them, but that seems to be what the meaning is. There must be some purpose after that for learning things.
So it's a school on refining your Sierra factory processes.
That's a good one, actually, yeah. Meaning is to get better at being happy.
I love it. This is such a fun heart start for me. I'm going to have you guys run the heart starts all the time. Those are great. Nicole, how about you?
Well, my response is the same as earlier in the call, and the only thing to add on to that was being sincere and treating life as a playground, not taking life too seriously, I found is what came up in regards to the purpose of life.
It was an interesting when I did this. Do we still have Amy, by the way, or did she leave? Did you hear that, Nicole? Do we still have Amy?
I can hear you, but she's not responding.
Oh, okay. So I just wanted to give her a chance to share if she wanted to. For me, what came up when we asked about the purpose of life, my heart actually gave a kind of interesting response. And that it said, you know, I don't really know what the grander purpose of life is. I had the sense, like, that my heart kind of knows, but it knows I'm not ready to know that big picture yet. It said, but I could tell you what your purpose is right now at this moment. And right now at this moment, the purpose of your life is to evolve within yourself these little survival reactions that have kept your species as human beings really locked into an old way of behaving and feeling and perceiving. And to just take as many of those as you can, not all of them, because that would be idealistic, and just to take as many of those as you can and move them to a different place of seeing and understanding and feeling and responding. And that as you do that, this is my heart speaking to me, you're evolving your species, you're evolving humanity. And where you can extend to others the option and the possibility that they can do that and give them some tools to be able to do that, you're helping the whole make that move in evolution from a place of operating from defensiveness and isolation to a place of operating from creativity and co-creation and innovation. And that's the purpose right now at this moment, is to move a species from a place of animalistic protectiveness and defensiveness and strategy and survival and getting what I want, irregardless of how that impacts the whole, to a place of authentic, heartfelt appreciation and collaboration with all that is. That's my current purpose as my heart laid it out. And for meaning, what my heart said is just that the meaning of things is what we make them mean. The meaning of life or the meaning of anything is intrinsically the meaning we personally assign into it with our thinking and our feeling and our giving it dimension and time and space with our attention. And so I asked deeper and I said, well, is there any intrinsic meaning to how things present? And all my heart said is, you know, the ultimate meaning behind everything in relative degrees of distortion is an expression and a reflection of love.
Hmm.
So there you just had a little taste of tapping into heart intelligence and how our programs work, not to give you answers, but give you processes to get to the part of you that has your own answers.
That was really good.
Thanks for inspiring it, Jake and Nicole. That was a fun heart start. Is there anything else either of you want to say or need to be complete with our heart start call for tonight?
I'm great.
I agree. You are. I'm so glad you finally came to realize that, Nicole. That is a graduation.
I didn't mean it like that, but...
don't take it back.
Well, I'm happy. I thought what you said about the evolving thing was, like, really good. Very intuitive and very much... I can't believe I didn't really think of that before, because that's got to be right up there with the happy thing, to evolve personally and to help the species to evolve. Wow. That's a good purpose.
Thank you. Well, we welcome anyone that wants to join Sierra in that purpose in the way that we're playing around with it, either through these Heart Start calls or, of course, our Heart Map curriculum. We have a beginner course starting on June 3rd, so a week from tomorrow. And that launches the new Heart Mastery cycle as well. So, Jake, if you have any further questions about that, or if anyone listening to this as an archive recording, are you guys all okay with me posting this archive on the website?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. I think it's nice for people to hear a different type of introduction to what this is all about. This was really fun. So if anyone listening to this as a recording also has more questions about our programs, you can call us directly here at 310-581-1507. I'll say that once more. It's 310-581-1507. And you can also email me, Sheva, S-H-V like elephant, V like victory, A, Sheva, at Sierra, F like fantastic, Y-E-R-A.com. And I can answer any questions that you might have about the program. Or anything else for that matter. Apparently, you know, tonight we just tackled the meaning of life and the purpose of life. But, you know.
There you go.
That's right. Jake, thanks so much for joining us. It was great having you. You too, Nicole, and pass our gratitude on to Amy as well.
Fun being here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Sheva.
You're welcome. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. Good to spend it remembering our deeper purpose and meaning in life. That was the perfect way to do it.
Yep.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.